When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Now, every now and then, a topic comes up and I get really, really excited because it kind of puts you in a box. It limits the number of films that you get to talk about. And when this idea was mentioned, I was stoked because right away, one or two things popped up and I'm just like, oh yes, I'm absolutely here for that. And here for this episode is the one and only Peter from the Movie Duel Podcast. Welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Jason. I'm very excited to be doing my first Keep Watch Pass.
I was about to say, I said welcome back, but this is your first Keep Watch Pass, but it's on the same podcast feed. So we'll just completely ignore the fact that I don't English good. So when we were talking about getting you on here for Keep Watch Pass, and you brought up the title Versus Movies, please explain to our listeners what we're going to be picking from here.
So this is basically going to be any movie with Versus in the title. Could be absolutely anything.
So just to clarify, this is not movies where you have two people versing each other in the movie. The word versus, or I guess the VS dot, has to be in the title itself. So you literally are now limiting your available movies, and it could be anything. It could be any genre. Yeah. It could be any era. So we got a lot to talk about. And here's what we're going to do. We are now going to pick, each of us, three different versus films, a keep, a watch, and a pass. The keep is one which we hold in high regard and probably put the poster up on our wall. The watch is one where, you know what, if it comes on the TV and even with commercials, I'm still in. And the pass is one where if the versus comes up, we out. But we start with our keep movie. And Peter, I'm going to let you start the party here. What is your keep versus film?
Okay, so there is going to be quite a connective tissue to all three of my films. Which is going to be horror, because I think, you know, horror is, you know, the genre that uses this gimmick the most, certainly through the research I sort of did and found when I was looking into this episode. So my keep is a little film called Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Good film. Good film.
Which is just, it's just, didn't know anything about this before I saw it. I think, if I remember rightly, I rented it. It was probably one of the last sort of films that I rented from somewhere. And I just absolutely loved it. It was a great spin on the horror genre, the slasher genre. You know, two guys, two hillbillies, essentially, out in the woods. And then you've got a group of arsehole teenagers coming along, staying in a cabin close to where they're working, who meet unfortunate ends. So, you know, it sort of picks up a lot from films like Final Destination and obviously things like The Evil Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and all those films. You know, it's a very knowing film, and it's very much a homage to everything that's come before it. And, you know, it's clearly made by somebody who loves the genre. But it just puts such an interesting spin on it with some great performances, some laugh out loud moments, great gore, and just everything you could want for.
Clearly in the pantheon of movies you probably watched or rented because of the title alone. I get that. Mm-hmm. I fully get that. I'm actually going to stick in the horror genre for my keep film. And people who have listened to It's Not That Bad, anytime I get the chance to mention a director's commentary or really deep diving into a film, this is the movie that always comes up. It has one of the best director's commentaries I have ever heard. I, of course, am talking about Freddy versus Jason. This is probably one of the pinnacles. Like if you grew up in the 80s, you know, it was almost like you were either a Freddy fan or you were a Jason fan. Most horror fans were just fans of both, and that's fine. But it felt like you were either in a Freddy camp or a Jason camp. And the Jason fans were there because there was just a brutality to some of the killings until, of course, it just went, jumped the shark and went straight to space because that happened. Or with at least with Freddy, with the Nightmare films, you had some films that were really leaned into some of the out there-ness of it, like some of the extravagant, elaborate dream settings for their killings. You could have both. And the fact was, Freddy was a lot more sarcastic and funny with some of the things he was saying, even though it was kind of menacing. With Jason, just the silence alone was enough to be able to create horrors. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the Canadian in me that just you connected to the hockey mask. Maybe the fact that he's a Jason, I'm a Jason, I get it. I was always the Friday the 13th kid, even though Nightmare on Elm Street had some of the better songs on their soundtracks. Don't get me wrong. I still like Alice Cooper's. He's back the man behind the mask. But I also like Dawkins' Dream Warriors. So, you know, you get a mixed bag here. But all of a sudden now you get this Freddy versus Jason. And I mean, they actually mentioned this concept in the movie National Lampoon's Senior Trip, which was released in 1995. Yeah. So obviously the blueprint was there. And if you actually read into how this film got developed and some of the ideas that they had put towards the script, like at one point there was this whole thing that Jason was on trial and being accused for the crimes that Freddy had committed. Like there's a long road to get to Freddy versus Jason. I think it was wonderfully directed. I highly recommend listening to the director's commentary because Robert Englund is just having way too much fun with this. But aside from the two main characters, you get a really decent cast, which includes Kelly Rowland, who was in Destiny's Child, and Catherine Isabel from American Mary and Ginger Snaps. And Ginger Snaps is a phenomenal freaking film. Absolutely. Catherine Isabel is amazing. This film could have been so bad, but it was so good. And the fact that you get the ending that you get, and it's so ambiguous as to what, you know, who wins and who loses. Brilliance. Freaking brilliance.
I'm not going to say too much about that just for the moment anyway.
All right.
For the moment.
Well, now we get to my watch film. And my watch film is actually a straight to DVD movie. It's a two-parter, Hulk versus. Now,
all right.
I'm a geek. Obviously, we're finally getting Wolverine in the MCU now that he's with Deadpool and now that Disney has bought the everything. But before we had that, we had Hulk versus, and there were basically two short movies within this DVD. There was Hulk versus Thor and Hulk versus Wolverine, and both were absolutely fantastic. And this is at a time when Marvel wasn't exactly doing that well on the animated side of things. Obviously, I've mentioned it before in past podcasts and past episodes where DC was killing it on the animation side, but not so much in the live action, whereas Marvel was killing it in the live action, but not so much in the animated at the time. I mean, yes, shows like Avengers Assemble and Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, those were great cartoons, but as far as like their animated straight to DVD movies, not so much. If you've watched the Invincible Iron Man, if you watch the Doctor Strange one, they put out, they're okay. Or the Ultimate Avengers two-parter, they're okay. Hulk versus delivered on the fact that you have a Wolverine versus Hulk story that makes sense, including the best pre Ryan Reynolds Deadpool performance ever. And you also had Hulk versus Thor, which had a really fascinating thing where Loki is able to separate Banner from Thor and then take over Hulk's body to attack Asgard during the Odin sleep. Holy crap. Like, this is a brilliant two-parter. If you have not seen Hulk versus yet, please go and find it and watch it. If you like your comic book properties, this is one to watch.
I need to check that out. That sounds so good. That sounds really up my street, that, because I would totally agree with you. I don't think, you know, DC nailed it with a lot of the straight to DVD movies. They did some of the Frank Miller adaptations and things like that were really, really good, really gritty, and to the point with to the point of the graphic novels that they were adapting. But yeah, Marvel has been probably a bit too kid friendly, I suppose.
Oh, you do not get kid friendly with Hulk versus. This is this delivers on a level that they should have, I think, for the straight to DVD market. I, like I said, I think they did well enough with their straight to TV shows like Ultimate Spider-Man and Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Those were good shows. And, you know, that kind of leaned on what they did with the 90s with Spider-Man and, of course, with the X-Men. So obviously we're getting that back.
I started watching that again the other day, actually, because I remember watching that as a kid.
As we prepare for X-Men 97 to release on Disney Plus, so that's gonna be good.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right, so what is your watch versus film?
Okay, so my watch film is Freddy versus Jason.
Bravo, sir.
So, yeah, I'm a big slasher fan. Friday the 13th, my favorite franchise. Before this came out, I'd, you know, binged all of the Jason films by this point. I think I'd got them all on DVD by this point. So I went to see this at the cinema when it first came out. I'd seen pretty much all of the Nightmare on Elm Street as well, but I was purely a Jason guy. So I was rooting for Jason in this film. But yeah, you know, to echo what you said, I think this is, for what we got, it's the best film that we could have got. You know, they didn't go too outlandish. There were some really cool concepts that they came up with. I believe even Peter Jackson wrote a concept for Freddy versus Jason at one point, or it could have been Freddy's final nightmare, I think. But I'm pretty sure it's Freddy versus Jason. You know, this has started way back in 1988, I believe, you know, when it was first sort of teased in the final Friday, Jason Goes to Hell, in which Freddy's glove comes out and out of the ground and takes down the hockey mask into the sand. So, you know, I was super stoked for this film. And, you know, there's a few spots I think it sort of misses, but it essentially keeps Freddy, as you know and love him, and it keeps Jason, as you know and love him. It actually is probably one of the better Freddy representations, because I think it goes back to the earlier sort of, you know, he's got one or two little quips in this film, but he's a lot more serious than he is in, you know, 4, 5, and 6. And that was really refreshing to see. It's a little bit disappointing he only kills one person in the film, but, you know, it keeps the story going along really well. You sort of see what you want to see. The performances are not too shabby for a slasher film. And, yeah, it's just a whole heap of fun. Yeah, you get the payoff at the end. You get the big battle. It's really gruesome. It really fits in with their characters, you know, what they're using, what they're doing. And, yeah, I just think it's not perfect by any stretch. It's not the best Freddy. It's not the best Jason. But for what it could have been, this is a good film.
I don't know if I would say it's not the best in some cases, because, I mean, I watched Jason X, so, you know. But I think I lean more towards that being my keep. I think it's more because of that director's commentary. Like, just listening to Robert Englund, like, just enjoying himself. And this is where that whole, like, you know, the rules of horror movies. If you drink, you die. If you drugs, you die. You know, like, you have sex, you die. It's so true. Like, really, it's almost like it's like the unwritten yet still kind of written rule of slasher films. If you are bad to the mean girl or the final girl, you die. Like, it's so there.
Yeah. I thought it was a very respectful take on what had come before it. You know, it didn't trash on any of the franchises. It treated them with respect, and it took itself seriously enough. But at the same time, being, you know, heaps of fun.
All right, so now it's time to hit the passes. So, Pete, what's your pass film?
Okay, so again, we're dipping into horror and we're going back to big, you know, two big franchises facing off against each other. It's Alien versus Predator Requiem. Now, I recognize that the original Alien versus Predator is not a good film. It's certainly, you know, it on a lot of the history of the franchise, both franchises, in a lot of ways. But there are some really great scenes in it, and there's some really good action and some really cool set pieces. But Requiem just is a massive, massive turd. And I was so excited for it because I thought, you know, it's coming to Earth, or the you know, both of these things are coming to Earth into a, you know, almost a domestic setting. We're going to get to see the Pred Alien. This is something I'd seen in comic books and video games and is massively cool. But it just, the whole film just looks terrible. It tries to be a bit of a slasher. It tries to be all these things that it's just not. And it's just unnecessarily nasty in places. You know, you've got kids being killed. You've got pregnant women being attacked and or eviscerated and giving birth to aliens and all sorts. I hope I'm not spoiling anything for anyone, because I wouldn't recommend this film to my worst enemy. It's just so away from everything that made the Alien franchise great and everything that made the Predator franchise great. It's just purely terrible.
I think the only downside to a movie like Freddy versus Jason is that it's going to inspire copycats. And yes, Alien versus Predator is very much probably like the first film that comes to mind when people are like, oh yeah, we've got Freddy versus Jason. What can we do next? Right. Yeah. That's always gonna be the question. What can we do next? Because Freddy versus Jason, it made some bank. It made some money. And the minute something makes money in Hollywood, everyone's like, how can we do more of that? Right. Yeah. So of course you have to think there's, you know, people were like, okay, so maybe it's Wishmaster versus Pinhead, right? Or yeah. you got, and of course, the idea of Alien versus Predator is going to come up. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No, exactly, exactly. And you know, and looking at the history of Alien versus Predator, you know, it started way back 1990 with Predator 2 with the alien skull on the Predator ship. You know, from there, they made comic books, they made video games, which were all infinitely more interesting stories than both of the Alien versus Predator films. And it's just a shame that they could not have gone to that bank and lifted some of those stories and made those. Maybe they would have been too expensive to make because they're set in space and they're set, you know, within that colonial marine environment that maybe, you know, James Cameron created in Aliens. But that would have been such an interesting film, and they just twice just messed it up completely.
Is it bad I'm happy that the Alien versus Predator series kind of tanked? Because next thing you know, we'd be having like Santa versus Krampus and A Christmas from Hell.
it's Hollywood. We've got Winnie the Pooh as a serial killer, so we could get anything.
Winnie the Pooh versus Bambi in the Forest of Fear. I really, really hope the Asylum is not listening to this podcast, because they're sitting there with like a legal pad and a pen going, write it down and just change the name a little. These guys got gold.
Yeah.
I'm going back a few years from my past film, and I feel a little bad, but not, because when you have a movie pairing that works so well, you want to kind of keep going back to the well, because sometimes when you see people together on screen, they just are so natural. And when Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan are on screen together, you have movie gold. I mean, you got Mail, you got Sleepless in Seattle, but then you've got Joe versus the Volcano. And I don't know about you, and it's been a while since I've watched this film, so maybe I'm just having still PTSD from it the first time, but it just didn't do it for me. And I think Tom Hanks is great, especially that era of Tom Hanks was just wonderful. Meg Ryan, of course, was, you know, literally the most adorable actress on screen at the time. This film just did not do it for me at all.
No. It's a long time since I've watched that film. I remember watching it as a youngster and really not liking it. So, you know, that says something. You know, if there's no nostalgia for a film, then Jesus, it must be bad.
I mean, I get like they were really at the top of their game at that time. They really were, mm-hmm. you know, and of course it wasn't until I think afterwards that you've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle. So the fact that this came out, I think, before them, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we're going to try that pairing again. I mean, really, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, you can't necessarily go wrong, but the script did not do them any favors at all.
I think I really must have blocked a lot of this film, because I don't remember a great deal about it. I just really remember not liking it.
You have to think, too, that 1990 is not exactly the best year for Tom Hanks. I mean, you have this, and then you have The Bonfire of the Vanities. Not exactly. And I mean, this is coming off of like The Burbs and Turner and Hooch, whatever you think of that film or not. It still was good enough. You know, big. I personally like Dragnet. I thought it was a ton of fun.
Yes.
Right? Well,
sure. Does that qualify?
Oh, yes, it does.
Oh. I think we know what we're talking about next.
Oh, we are setting that date, and we are talking Dragnet, that is for sure. Actually, I take a look now as I say that, no, it's actually not that low, but it still qualifies, sitting at about a 50%, which is good enough to talk about. I'd still defend Dragnet over 50% for sure.
Definitely.
All right, Pete, thanks so much. Now, before we go, please remind our listeners what your keep, watch, and pass films were.
So my keep is Tucker and Dale versus Evil. My watch is Freddy versus Jason. And my pass is Alien versus Predator Requiem.
And for me, my keep is Freddy versus Jason. My watch is Hulk versus, and my pass is Joe versus the Volcano. Pete, thanks so much. Before you go, please remind our listeners about the Movie Duel podcast and what else you got coming up.
Okay, so you can find me on the Movie Duel podcast, where we talk about a particular subject based around films. And then myself and one of my co-hosts pick a film that we think best represents that subject. We also have our quick draw episodes, which we invite a special guest on to talk about some of the subjects that we've touched on before, including the lovely Jason. I am now part of the so-called X-Files podcast with my co-host Vanessa, in which we talk about the X-Files season by season and pick some of our favourite episodes and talk about mythology and all sorts of different things. So check us out on all good podcast platforms.
I'll be sure to make sure to put the link to both those podcasts on this episode page. So make sure you go visit us at notthatbadcast.com. Until then, Peter, thank you so much. And you, our listeners, you guys know the drill. If there's a topic that you want us to cover, hit us up on social media at NotThatBadCast or go to our website, as mentioned before, at NotThatBadCast.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out all of our other shows, because we have a ton for you to listen to. So you got a long bus ride? We got you covered. Until next time, he's Peter. I'm Jay. This is Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.